Good morning. So glad that we could be here this morning. Go ahead and have a seat. But in a second, you're going to be getting up and you're literally going to be doing a deep down boogie. I'm just saying, it's going to be awesome. I'm so glad that you all could be here this morning. Our pastor is traveling. He was supposed to be traveling to Kenya with the team that is there right now, but due to some circumstances in his family, he is stayed home, and one of the things that he's doing while he's home is spending this weekend visiting his mom and dad in North Carolina. So we're going to have a special time of prayer for him in just a second. But I'm just so excited you all could be here. This is a little bit different. When I volunteered to cover one of his Sundays when he was thinking he was going to be in Africa, I did not... I was excited because I looked at it as an opportunity to kind of share some things that were happening with me around this time. I just got back from a week in Orlando, Florida, where I was at the National Children's Pastors Conference that the church sends me to every year. Every year I get to go to a conference, and sometimes it's this one, and it's an amazing conference. All of our conferences probably are where we have gotten, where I have brought back probably 80 to 90% of the things that we use. And so I just thought, wow, what a great opportunity to, in an attempt to share with you all, let you kind of see what that looks like. So this is not a family worship service because that'll be a little bit different, but we hope to have those in the future where the kids will be participating and the youth will be participating and you'll be participating. This is just a little taste of children's ministry incorporated into my message. So the message is designed for all ages, and really, truly, the worship is great for all ages as well, so we hope you have fun with it. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask our worship leaders to come on up. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the ability to come and worship you today. Thank you, Father, that worship looks many, many ways, and we just love you, and that's really what we want to say this morning. And Father, I just pray that you would be with our pastor this morning. I pray, Father, that you would give him strength. I pray that you would give him safety as he travels, and I pray that you would give him a great time with his parents. I pray that you would give the whole Magnet family strength, and that you would help us to know how to be the physical presence of your love as they go through a challenging time. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for what you're doing today in our lives, in our hearts, and in our church. And I just ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the difference between being a follower of Christ and a believer in Christ or a follower of Christ. And we're going to do that by taking a look at Paul's conversion. And because we are trying to do things different and a little bit creative, and to kind of show you a little bit of a taste of children's ministry, we're actually going to show you how we would do the story in children's ministry. We decided a long time ago that we wanted the very best storytellers for our kids. We also believe that knowledge is so important. It is not knowledge only that we want to see happen. We want to see transformation, which is what we're going to be talking about today. But knowledge is important, and so we wanted the best storytellers. And so our curriculum includes these DVDs that tell the Bible story, and I hope you enjoy this part of the story. Oh, I want to tell you, too, if you want to read along, in your Bible and you have it, we are in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 25.
And now for an amazing true story from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 to 25.
Believers carried out their plan. Paul escaped from Damascus unharmed and set off in the night on the road to Jerusalem. He had left the city as an enemy of Jesus, but would return as one of Jesus' most faithful followers.
All Okay, so talking a little bit about today about the difference between being a believer and a follower and what it and the experience of transformation. So I love the story of Saul, who became Paul, and I think it's one of the most exciting stories in the Bible. And we do want to concentrate today on how Saul truly was transformed. When I baptize kids, and the same thing with David, we ask them, whoever we're baptizing, two questions. The first question is, have you asked Jesus into your heart? And the second question is, will you let Jesus be the boss of your life? And so that's what we're going to talk about today, is the difference of being a believer versus being a follower. When you ask Jesus into your heart, you are transformed, and it's a great and glorious thing. But you don't have to do anything to experience that particular transformation except to ask Jesus into your heart. If you want to be a follower, there are some steps. So if you want Jesus to really be the boss of your life, which is the equivalent of being a follower, which is what Paul became pretty quickly, then there are some steps that need to be taken. And so I've broken them down into four areas, and they spell out boss. And so the first one is B, and it just simply means that Saul had to believe. He had to believe in his encounter in Jesus that that was Jesus, and he had to believe what Jesus was telling him, including the steps that he had to take next. So that was actually a very simple step, but it was a crucial step, because if he had not believed Jesus in that encounter and done what Jesus had asked him to do because he believed him, then he wouldn't have been able to become a follower. So believing is a crucial first step. But it also leads, and I love how these kind of lead together so nicely, to the next letter, which is O. See, a follower of Jesus Christ is going to be obedient to him. Obedience, now, you know, we do have a lot of kids in here, and if I were to ask them to raise their hand, if they were always obedient, then we would be causing them to sin, because some of them would raise their hand, and we just know it's not true, because nobody is always obedient, and nobody is flawless of sin. But as we attempt to be obedient, Paul was an incredible example of that. He was obedient to the point of willing to travel, and travel is hard. I'm thinking a lot about our Kenya team. And I thought about them and started praying for them when they got on the plane. That's a 24-hour trip. It was hard for me, and I've done it several times. It's hard to realize that the next day in the morning, nope, they're still not there. You've got a few more hours to pray for them. It's a long trip. And so traveling is hard, and Paul didn't have anybody bringing him snacks or, I mean, that would be my assumption. He also was obedient to the fact of being willing to go to prison, which is just something I personally would never want to do. But the thing about obedience is that it's about listening, and it's about understanding that we have to be obedient in the little things before we can be obedient in the big things. And I want you parents to know that I never talk about obedience to God without talking about how important it is to start out by being obedient to your parents. Because if you can't be obedient to your parents, which is the training ground that God has given us, it's going to be so hard to be obedient to God. So we do actually a lot of listening games to talk about how important it is to be a good listener. And if you're not a good listener, you miss out on some of the things that we're talking about today, like obedience. And so because we're doing things a little bit creatively and a little bit different and a little bit children-centered, we're actually going to have a couple of parents come up. You guys are off the hook, so you'll be glad to know that. But I am going to call on Melissa and, oh, yep. Boy. All right, you all come on up here. Christina, you come on up here too. Yep. These are some of our fabulous leaders. We have the best leaders in children's ministry. Andrew, you want to come up too? Okay, fine. He does. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. But we have some of the best leaders in all ages of our children and youth ministry. These are three of them. So guys, we're going to play Jump On, Jump Off. Some of you have been there when we played it before. Hannah played it when she was in children's ministry. And again, it's about obedience and being a good listener. So you're on the online. Okay? We do believe in positive reinforcement in children's ministry. So the basics of obedience is listening. And you are given opportunities your whole life how to be a good listener in preparation from being a good listener to Jesus. The difference between being a believer and a follower also requires you not only to believe and not only to be obedient, but to also to live a life of sacrifice. There's a difference between when we sacrifice for Jesus and when we simply give. I think sacrifice looks a lot of different ways. And again, we've talked about how Paul did some of the things that he did. Now, if you know me at all, you know that the worst thing you could ever do to me is put me in an environment where there could even be a whisper of the thought of a rat. I can't stand them. I can't even stand the thought of them. And we actually have a book upstairs in children's ministry that shows rats in the jail with Paul and Silas when they were in jail. No, thank you. I want to live a sacrificial life. That will probably not be how I sacrifice. And if I'm obedient and God calls me to it, we'll figure it out. But that kind of sacrifice that Paul had, and if you read, and then you start where we started today and continue to read, so many parts of the New Testament just explain what an amazing follower Paul was and set such an incredible example for us. But you know what? They don't have to be big for examples of sacrifice. I think sacrifice, and this one is bigger, is when you decide that you're going to pack up what you need to take, sell everything else, and go and live in Kenya for 2 years to work with vulnerable children. When Beth decided to do that, I thought, what a sacrifice. That was humbling and told a story to me. But it doesn't even have to be that big. Sacrifice can also be when you decide that you're going to do something that seems little to you but is big to somebody else. When I started coming to this church when I was 16 years old, I became a Christian when I was 17, and I was still in that believer phase. And one of the things that helped me to start moving towards the follower stage was an example that was set for me. And that was when a family, out of obedience, out of then sacrifice, decided as we were building that building over there where my office actually is housed right now, they decided that they were going to give up the money they had saved for an anniversary trip to Hawaii and use it towards that. We were so humbled as a church that we had a luau for them. And so as a young adult learning how to be a follower, that imprinted on me in a big way and encouraged me in my walk as a follower. And those that couple had the opportunity to come to our 50th anniversary celebration this past summer, and I had a chance to tell them how much that has meant to me my whole life. Many of you have very similar stories as you sacrificed for maybe you gave up something or went without so that we could get this renovation done when we went through our legacy campaign. But sacrifice looks different and it just depends on what God is calling you to sacrifice. But for you to know what you're being called to sacrifice goes back to you being obedient, which goes back to you believing and starting that relationship. The other part of sacrifice that I wanted to share this morning was about a woman who I listen to different podcasts to encourage me in my own walk and to help me to grow. And I was listening to a podcast of a woman who shared the story of sacrifice that she and her husband had made. She was asked to share it. And it was really not just about her sacrifice, but the power of small group. And in her small group, she had developed a best friendship with a woman. And that woman became ill. And as small groups do, the small group circled around this woman, but she really acted sacrificially as she gave her time and attention to this woman and helped her through the illness. And as she was in a time of remission, the unspeakable happened, and the woman who had been sick lost her husband suddenly and tragically. And so the friend, the small group member, walked alongside of her again and supported her again. And then the illness came back again. And she walked alongside of her. This woman didn't have anybody else at this point. She had lost her husband. And so when it came time for hospice, she was the one that sat by the bed and helped her through that. Where the sacrifice came in, even though giving up your time and your family and all of that for that time of sitting with her is certainly sacrificial. Where the sacrifice came in my heart that had me in blubbering tears, not just the quiet, pretty tears that drip down your face, but the So I want you to picture me walking in from there to the office and poor David sitting at the conference table with me. Yeah, poor David. Let's just think about him for a minute. But it was just the ugly cry, because what this woman and her family did is the day that she walked out of hospice because the woman had lost her battle, the friend that had so sacrificially walked alongside of her walked into the woman's home and stay there for I don't know how long. It was a couple years at the very least, so that those boys that now didn't have either parent would not only have an immediate family, but wouldn't have to be transitioned out of their home. Y'all, that's a sacrifice, because I can tell you that I just came back from a work trip, which there was also some cool stuff I got to do in my free time. I missed my bed. I missed my stuff. I recently moved like hours before I went on this trip. I still can't find certain things. And it makes me crazy. I want my stuff. And I don't think I'm the only person who's like that. I think all of us feel that way when we come back home. So to just, without even thought, move right into somebody else's home with all of their belongings and their bed and all of that, that's a sacrifice. And it's beautiful. And so being sacrificial, totally a part of being a follower. The next part that I really want us to concentrate on comes in the last letter. So B, we talked about, is what? Believing. O, and the first S, that's right. So the second S is sharing. And when we have a parent-child dedication, David almost always shares this verse on a slide. And I've asked Kaylee to come up and read the verse. And so she's going to come up here and share this verse with us. And if you would like to follow along, it's verses Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 9.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
Good job. So that verse, first of all, it looked like you had memorized part of it, so I'm triply impressed, because you know Miss Lee struggles with memorization, because I'm old. But you and I talked in the first service, so I know you know what I'm about to ask you. So what does that verse kind of mean?
It kind of means that you take the Holy Spirit wherever you go, whatever time it is, no matter what, and that you show it so that it shines through you.
Okay. That's a very impressive answer, and you're quite the theologian. I appreciate that. It also means, too, that as you're talking about shining through, so some of that might mean that when you're sitting at the breakfast table or driving in the car with your family, you guys might share what God is actually doing in your lives. And that as you guys are followers, you grow in your relationship with Jesus because you've shared your experiences with Jesus. Does that make sense? You have the opportunity to be the leader in your family with that. You can share what God is doing in your life, what you're praying about with your family, and then encourage your mom and your dad and your brother and your sister to do the same thing, right? Right, high five. Good job. That sharing of your story is an extremely significant part of the difference of being a believer versus a follower, because it means, first of all, that you have a story to share. And so I'm not talking about being evangelical and let me telling you, you know, about the four spiritual laws and how you become a Christian. I'm talking about, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life today. Or, gosh, that's a problem that you have as you sit at the dinner table. You know what? Tonight, as a family, we can pray about that and see how God answers that prayer. That's the kind of sharing, that it's a part of your rhythm. It's a part of who you are. I loved a story that I heard at this conference that I went to, where this woman, she was a professional counselor, and she was doing a seminar on how to help children understand and work through grief. And she had the personal experience of having to help her own children through that when her husband was taken from her unexpectedly 13 years ago. And as the church came around her, as the church does, and did everything from mowing lawns to bringing meals, she constantly pointed those experiences that they were having in the midst of their pain back. She pointed her children back to God with that. Those people are doing that because they love us, but they love Jesus, and that's also why they're doing it. And she built that vision in them to the point where it became such a rhythm of their discussion that as life continued, in so many ways it got better, but in so many ways when they had tough times for other reasons or even for just because that loss never really truly goes away, especially as you're growing up into adolescence, her children were able to go back and say, God got us through that tough time. He will get us through this time. And then she realized that because she had illuminated that for them, that it made sense to them. And because she had shared and written God's story, not necessarily literally, but on the door frames of their home, that their children were having their own faith and becoming followers themselves and not just believers, because as a follower, she had shared the story that they were going through together. I think that an example of that can be, for me, when I share things with the kids. And I'll just show you a quick example. And this was just a blessing. This is also a time of worship for me. And you're not going to think necessarily of it for yourself, but it was a time of worship for me. So Mary Beth, if we could bring those pictures up. I got to, while I was in Florida, give an elephant a bath. So we have, and to take a selfie and to scrub that baby down. That was actually a time of worship for me because I love being around the unique and incredible things that God has created. And so when I show those to the kids, I'm not going to say, wow, look at this cool experience that I have, even though it was the coolest for me. Some of you would be, you know, not, that's not your gig, but you have a different gig. But for me, that's my gig. And it was a time of a worshipful experience, because when I'm doing things, something like that, I'm thinking about our Creator who made an elephant and all the uniqueness that came around it. And then in the same time of creation, made the rat. I mean, only an incredible Creator would do that. And so that is in the realm of how I share my experiences with these kids. And that's what I'm talking about as you share in the rhythm of your life, is not just how amazing your day was, but what did God do in your day that helped to make it amazing? Or your day was rough. What do you need to pray about as a family? I just want to end by saying that, challenge yourself. Are you a believer or are you a follower? A believer, you're transformed. But a follower, and your life has changed. But a follower, your life is transformed, and God uses you to change the world. Parents, it is not impossible, but it is hard to be a believer that raises a follower. And I want you to sit on that for a second. It is hard to be a believer that raises a follower. It's not impossible. I was not raised in a Christian home. But if you want to be the spiritual champion in your child's life, then you need to decide, I'm not going to be just a believer. I'm going to be a follower. I'm going to believe. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be sacrificial. But mostly, as all those things are happening in my life, I'm going to share that with my children. I'm going to share that with my family. And for some of you where that is not how you relate to this, you're going to share it too with your neighbor or your coworker. I hope that you will challenge yourself in that way. I hope that you will take a minute and continue to study the life of Paul. I hope if you're a parent, you will consider going home and continuing to study that as a family, because it's an amazing story. We're going to have the kids come back up here and do one more song as our song of response. And it's during the song of response that the ushers will come. But as they're coming, I just want to also pray. I want to pray for our Kenya team this morning. The two announcements that we need to talk about this morning is the fact that if you are a youth, if you have a youth, it's time to make arrangements for the lock-in, so you need to contact the appropriate person for that. And then our Kenya team. Our Kenya team is a team of three, and we need to be praying for them as they serve. They've been in Kenya for the weekend and will be there for over a week. So as they think about how God wants them to continue serving vulnerable children, including kids at the Tanya Center, we just want to pray for wisdom for them. So let's pray, and then we will have our song of response. God, thank you so much for our Kenya team. Thank you, Father, for being with us in our worship time today. And Father, I thank you so much that you call us to be followers of you, and that you walk with us as we follow. And we thank you, Father. And if we are feeling like maybe we've been behaving more like a believer, but we want to be a follower, I pray that you would give us the strength, give us the resources, give us the wisdom on how to best do that. We thank you, Father, for a church that values family worship, family ministry, and pray that you would be with all of our leaders that make all of that possible. We thank you, and we thank you that you are so big and so strong and so mighty. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.